You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, drizzlingly dazzling but puzzling quizzlings, nuzzling and bedazzling grizzlies. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 254, our 2023 spring season finale. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your creepin' creatures creating creatine-filled cream puffs and creaky creameries.
I'm crawling. Colin.
And I'm Chris. Chris.
Before we get into trivia, Colin, we were chatting about how in the corporate world, a work environment, in person or over Zoom, there's the dreaded fun fact.
The fun fact.
What's your name? What do you do? And what's your fun fact?
Oh, gosh.
So I want to ask you guys, what is your go-to fun fact in those work situations that you share?
Those are super painful. But believe it or not, this show is my fun fact. So it's great. You know, it's like, I'm Colin and I have a trivia podcast that I've been doing for, you know, this many years. So it kind of fills that hole pretty nicely. Yeah. For me.
I have never been asked this in my life.
What?
Chris never worked a corporate job.
You've never had, oh my God.
I've never had to like randomly give a fun fact.
You've never had to go to a function where there's a sticker on your chest that says Chris, so your own coworkers know who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like you've got a great one.
I was on a game show.
That is a great one. I was going to say your marathon running with the costumes, because like that in itself contains, you've got like your states, you've got your Disney. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't think it's too weird? I feel like that's too out there.
Oh, you don't want to like turn people off, basically.
Yeah.
Something I have to say, I mean, you know, maybe I should get in the business of fun fact coaching. I'm a life coach, but only like just very, very hyper focused.
All right, what's the fun fact you're going to share with everybody? It's like, oh, I had a third nipple surgically removed. It's like, no.
You got to bring it back. Yeah. All jokes aside, I do notice, having done these things, that the first person who does one that's kind of like funky or wacky or weird or maybe embarrassing, it does sort of crack the seal, and other people are more willing to do them
More.
You know what I mean? Yeah. One of my coworkers had a great fun fact, though. He stood up and said, hi, my name is, you know, whatever, and this is what I do. And he said, my fun fact is that when I applied for the job here, they asked me if I had any questions. And the only question I had was, can I watch YouTube at work? And then he said, and then the company took 3 weeks to get back to me to hire me. And the whole time I was thinking, oh, damn, I screwed up. He's like, I totally blew it. He's like, why did...
can I watch YouTube at work? Which means that implies that in his life, he either got in trouble or it was a company policy.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's a question that tells a story for sure. Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for sharing your fun facts. Can I watch YouTube at work? I'm crying.
Do you have any questions? Just one.
Let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. Here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your Barnyard Buzzers buzzing.
Yes.
What set is this card?
This is 2016 Classic Edition. All right. Blue Wedge for Geography. Which landmark, nicknamed La Dame de Fer, is one of the most visited tourist spots in the world? I actually took French, and that sounded terrible. La Dame de Fer. DEFER.
Yeah,
call it.
The Eiffel Tower?
It is the Eiffel Tower. Pink Wedge, which frat pack comedian was Conan O'Brien's first and last guest on his short-lived stint as the Tonight Show host?
All right. So, Chris. I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and throw this out there. Will Ferrell.
Yes!
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's the frat pack. Yeah. I mean, that's Will Ferrell. He's the number one of the frat pack. So,
but that's a good question. That is a good one. Yeah. Yellow Edge. Oh. We just talked about this in a segment. Which founding father became the first Postmaster General of the United States Postal Service? He appointed himself, Colin. Yeah,
that was Mr. Benjamin Franklin, I believe.
Correct, yes. Purple Wedge, which comedian paired up with the NYU sociology professor to write Modern Romance, italics title, Modern Romance, a book about dating in the digital era?
Oh.
Colin, I think we saw him live together. I believe
that was Aziz Ansari.
Aziz Ansari.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Green Wedge for Science and Nature. How many pixels is in a megapixel? Chris.
Wait, 1 million.
1 million, yes. Yes.
Okay, all right, okay.
Not a trick. Last question on this card. Orange Wedge. What was the occupation of the winner of the first recorded Olympics held in 776 BC in ancient Greece? Multiple choice.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Multiple choice.
Influencer.
Yeah. Soldier,
cook, or actor?
I'm gonna say soldier.
Actor.
And I'll say cook because it's cook.
Nice.
His name was Corobus, and he ran a 192-meter foot race.
That's super random. Yeah, okay, but fine.
Woo! Yay! Good job, brains! We got a theme for this episode. Colin, you're our topic picker. What'd you choose for us?
This one, it was almost one of these, I can't believe I didn't think of this one earlier. I was stressing for a few days, and I was like, oh, I was planning for my annual road trip. And I was like, road trip!
It's just
a rich topic, especially for us here in the great United States of America. It is practically a
and
rite
elsewhere.
Of passage for, I'm not saying other places don't have the road trip. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I thought that would be just a great topic for us here, kind of coming into spring break for a lot of us, summer coming up. And I just thought I'd see where we could take it, if you will.
Bring your snacks, load up your stuff. We're going on a road trip. Okay, to get our brains lubed up for this car trip, that's my analogy I was going for, I have made a general lightning round, a general trivia lightning round. All of the answers here are going to have road in the title. These could be books, songs, movies, general things. So please get out your barnyard buzzers, lightning round. Here we go. Every answer has the term road in it.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Boys to Men ballad for the Eddie Murphy movie Boomerang. Chris.
End of the Road.
Correct. DreamWorks film starring Kevin Klein and Kenneth Branagh. Animated. DreamWorks animated.
Oh, DreamWorks animated film. Oh, man.
Man, I'm drawing a blank on this one.
Yeah.
It's about explorers and gold.
Oh, yes, okay. The Road to El Dorado.
Road to El Dorado, correct.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
On the other end of the spectrum, Cormac McCarthy's novel about father and son. Colin.
Simply The Road.
The Road. all right. George Miller's fourth installment of his post-apocalyptic franchise inspired by the Australian Outback.
The fourth. Okay, so we got Mad Max, we got...
Chris!
Mad Max Fury Road.
Correct.
Yes.
I didn't know it was the fourth one. There's Mad Max 2, and then Thunderdome, and then Fury Road.
Yeah.
All right. The essential literary work of the Beat Generation. Chris.
On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
Yes. I read somewhere that Jack Kerouac, when he typed up the novel, he stitched the pages together. So the manuscript is in a scroll. And then someone bought it for like millions of dollars, and now it's like, you know, being shown at museums and stuff.
I remember reading once that L. Ron Hubbard had a custom made typewriter that would allow him to just feed a continuous scroll of paper, so that he didn't have to, you know, he would just get in these, you know, frenzied bouts of writing, so that he didn't even have to take the time to swap a sheet.
What are pages anyways these days? Mm-hmm. You know. All right. Hodgepodge candy invented in Australia to make use of cheap, lower quality ingredients. The Hodge. Oh, I have really? A second clue, but yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say Rocky Road.
Correct. Wow. The ice cream version invented in Oakland, California.
Huh. Oh, so wait, Rocky Road ice cream was not the source of the term Rocky Road. Is what
no,
you're saying.
The candy. Yeah, preceded. Like
a chocolate bar with marshmallows and nuts in it, yeah. Basically, and stuff. Yeah. Wow, huh?
Crappier quality chocolate, crappier nuts, crappier dried fruits and marshmallow. Mix it all together to make a treat that's like palatable, I guess. I mean, that's
marketing
kind of
genius. Yeah. That's great.
Wow.
Yes. The Oakland, California, the ice cream version invented by Dryers and Mr. Dryers and Mr. Eddie.
Ah, that's a good fact.
All right. Best-selling Elton John studio album. Ooh, Colin got there first.
Was that Goodbye Yellow Brick Road?
Correct. Acclaimed novel by Richard Yates turned film about a strained marriage in 1950s suburbia.
Oh, it's
Colin.
Is that Revolution Road?
Revolutionary Road.
Revolutionary Road. Ah, okay. Yes.
Starred Titanic stars Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. Mm. Now it's getting hard. Here we go. The punny titled song by Lil Nas X featuring RM from the boy band BTS.
The punny
titled song.
Punny. Okay.
By Lil Nas X featuring RM from the Korean boy band BTS. It's a remix version of an existing song.
Okay.
Not Old Town Road.
But punny, but make it punny. Honey.
Oh. Road, Nas X, Lil Nas X.
Chris. Ready? Soul Town Road.
Yes!
Yes! Okay. Chris, I knew you could do it.
Using all my pun powers, yeah.
Believe in
me. All right. With my pun powers combined. Macho Patrick Swayze bar brawl flick where he rips out throats. Colin.
That is Roadhouse. I was just watching this like 3 days ago. It's so funny that you mentioned it. Talk about topical. I honestly, Karen, like, when was the last time you watched Roadhouse, if I may digress from your lightning round?
Oh, man. Maybe
here.
Like 10 years ago.
It's hard to overstate just how absurd and great this movie is. It's got a little bit of everything from every 80s movie stereotype. Yeah. It's got everything. It's got comedy, it's got saxophone, it's got bar fights, it's got guys ripping throats out, it's got guns. I mean, it's got Jeff Healey band. I mean, it's got everything that you need. It's just over the top. Great 80s movie.
All right. This story features the characters Shaggy Man, Polychrome, Button Bright, and Toto, the dog. Some more characters. Jack the Pumpkinhead, TikTok, Princess Ozma.
These are all Wizard of Oz characters. Yeah, so what's the...
I mean, it's not like the Yellow Brick Road, is it?
Is no, it is simply Road to Oz. Road to Oz.
Wow, okay.
Fourth installment. I think most people know, you know, the Scarecrow and the Lion, and then maybe a little bit more deep cut with like TikTok and Princess Ozma. Yeah. But then once we get real deep in the series, Polychrome, Button Bright, I was like, I don't know who any of these people are.
How many were there? Do you know?
Oh, God, a lot. I think there were
a lot. Yeah.
Road to Oz is like Dorothy's fourth time visiting. But anyways, okay, moving on. Tom Hanks gangster film.
Tom Hanks. Oh.
Chris.
Is that Road to Perdition?
Correct. Road to Perdition. Also a graphic novel. This is a Percy Mayfield song made famous by Ray Charles.
Oh.
Chris.
Hit the road, Jack.
Hit the road, Jack. Not really a Ray Charles original, but boy, did that become a signature song for him.
Mm-hmm.
The competition-focused companion to MTV's Real World. Colin.
Road Rules.
And then the last one, an anthem to West Virginia.
Ah. Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Yes, Roads. Roads. It wasn't until today. I didn't know it was plural. Well, good job, everybody.
So yeah, Colin said road trip, and I just immediately, my brain just goes right to, you know, when you're bored, you're on that car trip with the family, you're into like hour three or four of the 8 hour, you know, drive. And, you know, one of the things you might decide to do to pass the time is, you know, to start looking for license plates.
Yes,
from as yes. many states as oh, you can yeah, find yeah, 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 cars yeah. driving by, right? So while we're all on this road trip together on the show, I figure we should stare out the window for a while and check out some of the great license plates of the US of A. Now, I started putting this quiz together, and about halfway through, I'm like, wait a gosh darn minute. We've been doing this show for 11 years. let me quickly check. Oh, yeah, Colin, you actually did a similar quiz in All Quiz Bonanza 7.
Wow. Single digit.
Yep, which then ended up getting printed in the Good Job Brain book, now available, I mean, on Amazon, I guess. So I made sure to nothing is overlapping here. This is new license plate questions, nothing that was covered in previous episodes or in the book. Some of these license plates might not be offered anymore, you know. It's kind of hard to check, but you know,
yeah,
they're recent enough that you would still see them out on the road. They're not like
all right, all right. Like so and a lot of states do the special one-off ones too.
Oh,
they
really?
Do. Yeah. So
oh,
I mean,
yeah, for various fundraisers or things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. 10 questions. Buzz in with your barnyard buzzers if you know the answer.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. Question one: The phrase "Aloha State" appears on the license plates of Hawaii.
Okay.
Along with what image? Karen.
A palm tree.
Colin.
Is it the fish? You know the one I'm talking about. Is it the fish?
What?
What do you mean the fish?
I'm gonna put you on the spot
humu
here.
The humu nuku nuku wapuai, oh. That fish, right? Yeah.
Humu humu nuku nuku wapuaa.
No, it is a rainbow. The Hawaiian license plate is a big old rainbow.
Oh my gosh.
All right, now I'm just going to, I will straight up ask you about a slogan that appears on a license plate. No trick questions. This state's license plate reads on the bottom, "The Last Frontier."
Oh man, I've seen this one on the road driving.
The Last Frontier.
The Last Frontier. Oh.
Colin.
Is it Alaska?
It is Alaska.
Oh, that makes sense.
Good job. There is actually a reality show currently airing on Discovery Channel that is titled Alaska, The Last Frontier. And this show is about the rough homesteading life of the extended family of what well-known singer-songwriter?
Oh.
Karen.
It's got to be Jewel.
It is Jewel. Yeah! Good job.
So her family?
The Kilcher family. Yeah.
Wow.
Question number four. The upper right corner of this state's plate has a little heart with the phrase in it, "Heart of Dixie." Colin.
Mississippi.
So named because it's right in kind of the middle of the American South. It's not in the north of the South or the south of the South, but it is like, this may not help you, but there is a show called Heart of Dixie, H-A-R-T, person named Heart of Dixie, that aired on the CW, and it was set in this state.
It doesn't
help. Oh, you CW watchers out there. It's Alabama. Alabama.
Ah.
Nicknamed the Heart of Dixie. Yes. Question number five. Okay. The image on this state's license plate, the, quote, "bucking horse and rider," is a registered trademark of the state. Whoa. Colin.
100% Wyoming.
Absolutely correct. The cowboyest of cowboy states.
Oh, Wyoming. I thought it was like a rodeo thing.
And it's a trademark of the state. That is how they advertise their
state.
It makes sense that states would trademark their taglines, right? But I wonder what else they also trademark.
The first time I've ever heard of this, of a state trademarking something.
Yeah.
Like for their, I guess, for their tourism board, basically, activities. This state's standard plate is the only one that puts the letters USA after the state name, specifically calling out the fact that it is in the USA.
New Mexico?
It is New Mexico. Oh. It is New Mexico. Because it's just trying to be clear. It's not like New Mexico, Mexico. It says New Mexico, USA is what the standard plate says.
Good logic.
All right, we're on to question 7. This is, you know it or you don't, this state's license plate bears the phrase Constitution State.
Pennsylvania.
Not Pennsylvania.
Delaware.
I'm sorry, it is not Delaware. It is, however, my home state of Connecticut.
Constitution State.
That's a nickname. And the Constitution State doesn't even refer to the actual, to the, like the United States Constitution. It refers to like an even older document than that. Isn't it a weird thing to put on the license plate? I think it's kind of weird.
Intentionally misleading.
Question 8. Although it has recently been discontinued, you'll probably still see a lot of license plates in this state that read Spectacular Peninsulas.
More than one.
I think you'll agree that is a phenomenal thing to put on a license plate. Just floating out there.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Honey, have you seen the peninsulas in this state? Karen.
Just because of the swampland, Louisiana?
It's not Louisiana.
Oh, man.
Now I'm thinking of like fractals. Fractals with so many...
I think you've got a state that's on the water that just has like a lot of peninsulas, but just really good ones, you know?
Thanks for helping.
It is Spectacular Peninsulas. Michigan.
Okay. That makes
spectacular peninsulas.
All right.
Many of them. Look at how
it's
shaped.
I was thinking the wrong part of the country.
Like, we're thinking ocean, not lakes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Lots of peninsulas go into that lake. Spectacular ones.
Peninsulas are real and they're spectacular.
So, question number 9. This state's license plate reads the first state.
Yeah, I mean, how are we defining? Yeah,
okay. Karen.
Delaware.
Yes.
Okay,
yes!
All right. Yeah.
Question number 10, the final question, and that is this. Kentucky's license plate bears its state nickname, which is what? It's not the bourbon state.
Is it the bluegrass state?
Bluegrass, that's what...
It is the bluegrass state. Woo! Very good, Colin. Kentucky, the bluegrass state. Well done. All right, generally good job, everybody. I mean, obviously I had to step... Colin was asking, like, what state has the motto Famous Potatoes? You know what I mean? So, I mean, we already knocked off all the easy ones, so I kind of had to step it up for you guys this time. So you did good, all things considered.
What was in the old quiz? Like, what, Virginia's for Lovers?
The one that I absolutely wanted to do for this quiz, but then, of course, Colin had already did it. I'm like, it was so good. It's the license plate that says Great Faces, Great Places.
Oh, South Dakota?
Because of Mount Rushmore. I think that's killer. Yeah.
Speaking of road trips, if you, dear listeners, are hankering for a road trip or any type of trip, we want to invite you to SporkleCon, the largest trivia / quiz convention in the country, September 8th through 10th. In Washington, D.C. Good job, Brain. We'll be there. We'll be doing a live show and recording. Come see us, meet us, say hi. If you've been to our past live events, then you know it'll be a blast and filled with goodies. SporkleCon will have over 50 trivia events, cash prizes throughout the weekend. Learned League will be there. Oh my God. Jeopardy celebrities will be there. This is on the weekend of September 8th through 10th. For more info about the event and tickets, go to www.sporklecon.com and use the code GJB to save $15 off for a full weekend pass. And that's sporklecon.com. We haven't had a meetup or a live show in forever, so we're pretty excited / extremely nervous about it too. So hopefully we'll see you there.
All right. This might be an interesting generational question maybe, but what type of vehicle do you picture when you think of family road trip? Family road trip. Chris, didn't need a buzzer, but I appreciate it. I'll take it. What do you got?
This would, of course, no longer be the case in any way. But I mean, for me, you know, it's all about National Lampoon's Vacation and the family truckster, the station wagon.
For me, totally the same, I have to say. Yeah, I mean, I think, depending on when in the 80s, 90s, maybe 2000s you grew up, might be minivan, might be something else. But yeah, for me as well, Chris, it's station wagon. It's just
three kids rolling around in the back, you know, at 60 miles an hour on the highway.
Is this the car with like the fake wood on the
absolutely
outside?
What
is a station wagon?
Well, because I didn't grow up with
Bridget. In case you have never seen the Brady Bunch or National Lampoon's Vacation or anything from those areas, the station wagon, just a classic big vehicle. The sort of the formal definition is you got like a car body with an extended roof and no trunk. So the roof goes all the way to the back of the car, and you either got like a tailgate or, you know, a lift gate on the back.
The whole back is one space.
The whole back. Well, usually you got like flip down seats of some kind. That's right. Okay. So you can do just a bunch of people. You can flip them down, do a bunch of cargo. You can mix and match. As Chris was saying, like, that's my memory too. Is like, as kids, is growing up, you might call shotgun when you were a teenager, but as a kid on a road trip, you're calling the way back. Because in the station wagon, there were no rules back there. Like, parents, you were like beyond the reach.
Are there seatbelts?
No. What are you talking about, seatbelts?
Seatbelts, yeah. It was like sometimes you're just rolling around loose like bags of laundry or something. Yeah. My family, you know, we didn't own a station wagon, but there was a family that we would take trips with every year down to San Diego. And on more than one occasion, I clearly remembered like we all piling in there, four adults, four kids, and again, like we would just sort
of be in one car?
In one big station wagon. Yeah. And with the kids in the way back. So when I was thinking about road trip, I didn't want to talk yet again about one of my modern road trips. I wanted to pitch back to my memories of your and ode to the station wagon, this little segment here. I got some trivia, got some questions for you guys. We can do this as a buzz in quiz here. And yeah, maybe we'll have some fun here. This is way too deep a cut to have put on the quiz here, but I will just throw it in as a freebie, which is the vacation car was a parody of American station wagons at the time. It was not a real, you couldn't buy a family truckster, but in the movie, the wagon queen family truckster. The actual car, you know, not dressed up for the movie, the actual car was a 1983 Ford LTD Country Squire for you real deep cut vacation fans out there.
Did they like mod it up? Like, did they try to make it look different?
They added extra wood paneling and they kind of exaggerated the body and the racks and all that stuff to just, kind of give everything it needed. I mean, and to be clear, even in the movie, it was not the car that Clark Griswold wanted, but that's what they ended up with. All right. Question one. Here we go. On to the actual business at hand. Get out your buzzers. We got three questions here. So short and sweet. Okay. Get out your buzzers. All right. Number one, why do we call it a station wagon? Why do we call it a station wagon?
Okay. I used to know this and I sure don't anymore.
I'll give you maybe a clue here unless you want to hazard a guess.
Yeah.
All right. In the UK, this type of vehicle is, you might hear referred to as an estate wagon.
Is it like you can carry your entire estate around in it?
The station in the station wagon is a reference to train stations. And this type of vehicle is descended from the vehicles that were used to shuttle people and luggage or cargo to and from train stations. And it was like they needed one vehicle type that can get you and your stuff, basically. I think it's funny, like in the UK, they focus on, you know, the estate that you presumably own. Like, it's, you're shuttling between your estate and the train station.
I see, From your, where you live to the station, and this is the wagon that takes all your stuff and people at one go.
That's right. All right, number two. You know what? Actually, we should write this one down here. This is going to be a year question. We're going to prevent any Price is Writing shenanigans over here.
I will always Price is Right shenanigans, if not
I know. Yeah. All right, number two. Closest to wins this one. What year did minivan sales overtake station wagon sales in the United States?
Ooh.
The rise of the minivan, the fall of the station wagon. What year?
Right.
What year feels right?
All right.
Answers up. Chris says 1997. Karen says 1987. Karen is closest to it. Only 3 years off. It was, in fact, 1984.
Earlier. Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was not only, and it was not just like, you know, minivans had been, you know, building up ahead of steam. That was the year, basically, the first minivan came out, which is,
people were on board.
Yeah, right out of the gate. The Dodge Caravan, introduced by Chrysler, also the Plymouth Voyager, 1984, and just an immediate success. You know, by contrast, station wagons by that time were sort of in decline. They had sort of flattened out already. 1976, I read, was... That was peak station wagon in the United States in 1976. They sold almost a million station wagons. That was basically 10% of the cars sold in the U.S. So one out of every 10 cars in 1976 sold was a station wagon. That was down to basically 1% by 2015.
Wait, does anybody still make station wagons in the U.S.?
There are some countries where they've always sort of remained popular, especially in Europe. You know, the station wagon never really fell as far as it did here in the U.S.
Okay, because I'm looking at some, like, 2023 station wagons.
Look like they don't look like classic station wagons?
They don't look like the Griswold. Okay. Car. It looks like a typical, like a sedan, but just like longer. So you get no trunk.
All right. Last question here. What celebrity owned a custom crafted 1973 Cadillac Eldorado station wagon with features including a built-in refrigerator, a built-in TV, high-end sound system, pink vinyl roof, and a TCB lightning bolt logo on the door?
What's TCB? Oh,
Chris.
For me, I feel like it's got to be Elvis Presley.
You got it. That's right. Ding, ding, ding. Elvis Presley.
I was going to guess Barbie. she had many dream cars.
Yeah, but not a TCB logo.
TCB taking care of business, which was Elvis's sort of personal motto slogan, if you will. The car, this was one of many, many, many fancy custom cars built by Hess and Eisenhart. I was reading about them. They're one of these companies that you buy a sort of base donor model car, they take it and they will trick it out for you. Yeah. So the Cadillac Eldorado did not roll off the assembly line as a station wagon. It was built to his exact specifications. Everything I described, all of that cost him a cool $17,000. Elvis would drive it himself, apparently, like between Memphis and LA. I read like he would drive himself to the airport in it. I mean, he loved this car. He loved this car, apparently. Yeah. Hess and Eisenhart, I also learned they had a long line of custom built cars and some station wagons as well for US presidents. They built custom cars for everyone from John F. Kennedy all the way up through George W. Bush. Fancy limousines, mostly, but some, in fact, honest to God. Oh, yeah.
Safety, security.
I mean, bulletproof glass. And it's actually pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool reading about some of these presidential cars. Yeah. All right. So that was just a little bit of love, a little bit of lore, a little bit of trivia about the classic, beloved, maybe hated station wagon.
Let's do a pit stop. Let's take a quick break, get some nuts and some Diet Coke, and we'll recharge, and we'll be right back.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles. Smart trivia. Good job, brain.
Well, folks, think about it. 3 million square miles of land spanning several states, spanning several geographic areas between coast to coast, people traveling and exploring in the early days, looking for a better life. So many places of interest, so many roads, so many roadside attractions. It's no wonder that road tripping culture is such a big part of the great country of Australia. Of Australia. Psych! Not America. The island slash country slash continent of Australia is actually very, very, very close in size compared to the U.S. I think just a tad smaller. But what Australia has in spades and has us beat is not only roadside attractions. Australia boasts and is very, very proud of what they call big things of Australia. That's capital B, capital T. Big things of Australia.
All right.
Almost anything you can think of, there is a giant big version of it somewhere in Australia.
Okay.
As a roadside attraction. All right. When we think of roadside attractions here in the US, like, what do you think of? Biggest ball of yarn.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Largest potato.
Yeah.
But really, we kind of think of that as something of days gone by, essentially.
Yes.
Right? Like, you exactly. don't really do stop at that sort of thing anymore.
The sunburnt, faded dinosaur that's missing an eyeball that looks like someone made out of paper mache like 70 years ago. You know, it's kind of hokey, kind of tacky, very old. Mm-hmm, we're not really thinking of these things as like super quality or super cool. It's not to say Australia doesn't have these. Australia does have these. The big difference is Australia is constantly putting up more of these big things. So it's not a thing of the past. There's new ones that pop up all the time. People are really invested in refurbishing the old big things. The Australian Post in 2007, this is so cool. They even commissioned an artist and released a special run of stamps commemorating some of their famous big things. The big things, big B, big T, big
deal. I like that.
So yes, that is the name of my quiz. Big Things is a big deal about some of these cool Australian big things. Ooh, let's do write down. We've been buzzing.
All right.
Get out your writing utensils. Here we go. Question one. In the town of Muswellbrook in New South Wales, you can find a big this celebrating this now very popular native dog breed. In the town of Muswellbrook in New South Wales, you can find a big this. If you were to name an Australian dog breed that is very popular now.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Would it be?
I don't know any Australian dog breeds.
I would have felt really dumb if I didn't put this down.
Okay. All right. Answers up.
Oh, yes, of course.
Chris put Corgi, and Colin is right with the blue heeler, big blue heeler just 12 kilometers away in another small town. That's where the blue heeler was first developed or bred, which is a combination of herding dogs and dingoes, native Australian dingoes, to come up with a herding dog who could tolerate some of the more harsh conditions of Australia. And Muswellbrook in New South Wales, they also hold the Blue Heeler Film Festival every year. They encourage people who live in Australia to submit any films about the Blue Heeler. Of course, made famous nowadays by the cartoon Bluey. All right, next question. In Thornton, you can find the Mortal's Sheepskin Factory and also a big pair of this. One of the most globally exported brand name goods. Thornton, you can find
something down.
Mortel's Sheepskin Factory and also a big pair of this.
All right.
One of the most globally exported brand name goods. Answer is up. Chris says Uggs. And Colin says Uggs. Yes, it is a pair of big Ugg boots. When we say big things, these are like several people tall. Big things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not just like size 18s. Ooh.
Exactly. Next question. In 2019, like I said, people keep making these big things. In 2019, a university in the city of Perth debuted the biggest version of what? First created by Dmitry Mendeleev. A university in the city of Perth debuted the biggest version. Clue. On their science building, a big version of what? First created by Dmitry Mendeleev. Answers up. Chris says, periodic table. Colin says, periodic table of elements. Yes, your son would be so proud. It is the periodic table of elements. The biggest one in the world is on the side of this science building.
Someone racing outside, just look at it, studying, and run back inside for the quiz.
Yeah, quiz time. Let me go down the block. Okay, next question. Leftover from a beloved but now abandoned water park, a big version of what Roman god was granted heritage status by the Western Australian Heritage Council in 2006?
Sure, okay.
Leftover from a beloved 1980s water park, a big version of what Roman god was granted heritage status by Western Australian Heritage Council in 2006. Chris put Neptune. Colin is Neptune. You guys know your Greek / Roman gods. It is Neptune, not Poseidon. King not Neptune. Poseidon. A little bit about this statue. You might think, King Neptune... You know, Ariel's dad, Triton, like a majestic, maybe buff merman, handsome. Again, this is a statue that was part of a 1980s water park. And it looks like it's from a 1980s abandoned water park. It's more gnomish. I would say the features are more gnomish than...
I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull a Karen. I'm going to Google it. Regal, majestic. Okay, let's see. Yeah, I see it. Google knows what I was looking for. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? What you didn't mention also, Karen, is like that it's really just like from the waist up. It's kind of...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The eyes.
That is not what I was expecting.
Eyes really capture your attention.
Oh, goodness.
This thing was granted heritage status.
Man. Oh, yeah, it's big.
But what I mean? The features are a little bit more gnomish and cheery than the grandeur of
it's not without a little bit of like a Gimli quality to it. You know what I mean?
Lord of the Rings. This is a good time to pause here. There's big versions of everything in Australia. Like it's not just a big fish. It's a big barramundi, a big trout, a big dead fish. You know, there's like so many versions and so specific.
Specializing.
In California, we're driving up and down, we'll see like fruit stands and maybe there's like a big date or like a big orange. In Australia, there's like the big cherry, the big double cherry, the big cherry with sunglasses, the potato on the side, the big potato with the cowboy hat. There's so many variations of different things. Oh, it's so great. One of the most famous big things, the one that made it to the national stamp collections, stamp run I mentioned, is the big Merino. The big Merino. Not Dan Merino, M-E-R-I-N-O. big merino. We just talked about this in Colin's quiz about fabrics mm-hmm. of our lives. Merino wool comes from merino sheep. In Goulburn, Australia, the big merino is a very, very, very handsome, very majestic, unlike King Neptune, just awesome big sheep. And he goes by what punny action movie name?
Okay.
Write it down. He is a big merino sheep. Punny action movie name.
Okay.
Okay, great. I got it.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Answer okay. is up. Colin has Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Chris has Bruce Willis.
That's good. That's good.
It's, Bruce Willis. It's Rambo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Bo.
He's a boy sheep. I keep saying him. Him is a... is a boy sheep ram bow. And of course, these big things serve as great tourist traps and attractions and advertising campaign. The shortest living big thing in Australia was just that. It was an advertise campaign for a limited time. This big thing was from an American-based convenience store. What was this big thing? This was the shortest living big thing in Australia. It was an advertising campaign from an American-based convenience store.
Okay.
What was this big thing? Cheekily, it was built in a city where there's a lot of big things. So it was, you know, it was like a stunt. All right. Answers all right. up. Chris says Big Slurpee. Colin says Big Slurpee. You're both correct. It was Big Slurpee. Okay. Right before summertime, they put this out, just kind of incept everybody, be like, it's going to be hot.
I was gonna be funny, and I was gonna put big gulp,
bigger gulp. Well, so they did the math. It would take 8 months to fill the big Slurpee using a standard one Slurpee machine. It would take an adult 14 years to finish drinking the amount of Slurpee.
They would die.
You would die from diabetes long before you got to the end of that.
Hypothermia, diabetes. Yeah, exactly.
All right. In the city of Emerald, which is in Australia a major sunflower producer, a big easel was set up along with a big painting, which is a replica featuring the work from what famous artist? Again, in the city of Emerald, which is a major sunflower producer in Queensland, a big easel was set up along with a big painting, which is a replica featuring the work of what famous artist? Answers up, please. Chris says Van Gogh. Colin says Van Gogh. You're both correct. It is Van Gogh, part of the Van Gogh Project, where they also set up a big easel in Canada. There's one in Kansas.
Oh, cool.
How big is it that one flower is like the height of a person?
Right.
That's how big.
Oh, okay. This is the big one.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. The painting. In Australia, they're not breeding human-sized sunflowers. All right. In the town Churchill in Victoria, the town Churchill is named after Winston Churchill, and it boasts a big version of this favorite accessory, a pastime that Churchill enjoyed.
Okay. I'm going to guess it's not drinking, so I'm going to...
don't count it out.
Chris says cigar. Colin says cigar. You're correct. It is a big cigar. But really, it just looks like a tube painted like a cigar. But
sometimes a cigar is just a gigantic tube painted like a cigar.
Last question. In Jamboree Action Park, New South Wales, is home to the world record holder for the largest spider statue in the world. The spider is modeled after the deadliest spider species, and it's hugging a water ride attraction that has what shape in reference to the shape of the web that it spins? So it's a very wordy question.
Wow.
There's a water park there's a water slide ride, and it's shaped very specifically. And the reason why there's a spider statue next to it is because that shape of that water ride is a reference to the shape of the web the species of spider spins.
So just to be clear, our answer is a shape, not a spider name. All right.
Chris put hourglass and Colin put funnel. It is funnel. Funnel web spider. The Sydney or Australia funnel web spider, the deadliest spider in the world. Asterisk. Deadly as in its venom is the most venomous. It takes 15 minutes for like a person to die. However, not a lot of people have died from the spider. It's just that this spider has the most venomous venom.
On a one-to-one relationship.
Yes.
There was an episode of the show Peppa Pig where it's like, spiders are your friends. If you see a spider, kill it. Spiders help to eat bugs. Spiders are great. And then they like could not air that show in Australia. Because in Australia, spiders are definitely not your friends and will murder you in 15 minutes. Yeah.
That's my quiz. I've actually have not seen any of these, but I have seen The Biggest Pocket Watch. That's a Melbourne. Special shout out to Good Job Brain Laura, who took me around Phillip Island a few years ago. We saw the big wave, the big faucet tap. And then, of course, I've mentioned this story a while ago, but now I have an update. Let's time travel back to the late 80s when I was a kid. I was a young kid and I was watching the Taiwan's version of PBS. They aired this travel show, and in this episode, they showed the segment about the big earthworm in Australia, the big earthworm, which was an earthworm museum that lives inside a building that was a big earthworm building. It completely captured my imagination. I barely understood the concept of countries or even Australia or even traveling. Ever since that episode, I'm like, okay, Australia equals big earthworm. So fast forward, I'm a teenager. For summer vacation, we're going to go to Australia. And I was like, can we go to the big earthworm museum? And of course, we're going with like an Asian tour group. The itinerary is planned out. We're going to stop at every single Chinese restaurant to eat like Chinese food. And I made my mom go ask the tour guide. And of course, I don't know if she did or she said she did. And it was like, no, it's not on the list. I was like, ah. Other than the Chinese restaurants we had to stop along the way, we stopped a lot of like pit stops, rest stops, go use the bathroom. And then one of the stops in Victoria, we got off and it was the Earthworm Museum was our pit stop. At this point, nobody believed me that it was real. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, as a kid, they keep hearing me, like, I won't shut up about it. And it's like, is it real? Where did she watch this? And turns out my mom was like, oh my God, it's real. And I was like, yes.
You must have just been in disbelief.
You know, like little kids, they dream about their wedding, or they picture what their wedding would be like in the future. And the only imagery they have of wedding is like from Disney movies or from books, you know, like they don't even know what love is, but they know what a wedding looks like. It was realized. Years long dream. And it was awesome. It was like, you know, tanks of earthworms, the Earthworm Museum, you walk into the earthworm. And then the reason why I think I shared a little bit about this previously in an old episode of Good Job Brain is because this earthworm museum then became kind of like a wildlife park, and they housed the biggest preserved great white shark in formaldehyde. Turns out they were operating without a wildlife license, without any kind of license, actually. So they had to shut down. So it was abandoned. This earthworm museum slash aquarium was abandoned along with this giant great white shark in formaldehyde. And so it became like an urban explorer thing where people would break in. Just recently, a couple years ago, someone is saving the shark and is kind of restoring it back to its as best they could from this abandoned
the museum. They're restoring life. Just the shark. No, we're just restoring just
no,
the
just
shark.
The shark. They moved the shark to elsewhere. Now they're putting in glycerin, which is a little bit more gentle. But Rosie the shark is now is now somewhere else. Earthworm Museum closed down. Whatever became of the Earthworm Museum closed down. It's no more. But for that one moment, I lived my fantasy.
Wow. So great. I mean, like the frustration too. Like you know, like you're a kid. Like you see it on some show. You know, I was like, show me some evidence of this Earth. And you're
there's
like,
no internet.
It was on the show. It was on the show.
I don't know what show it was. It was just on TV. No. There's no recording. And you know, back then, like, yeah, sure, we had dial up, but it's like,
but you're also still waiting for somebody to even like create a web page devoted to the big things of Australia on GeoCities. Or whatever, like
in your web ring.
Hadn't created it yet. Yeah, right.
You have opened my eyes to an entire genre of thing here, Karen. I want to do an Australian road trip now.
I know. I'm sure there are people now dedicated who go and I got to go visit the big pistachio, the big lobster, the big prawn.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
All right, we have a last segment. In terms of road trip games, what do you guys like to play?
I like to play the quiet game. Everybody sees how quiet they can be and who can be quiet the longest.
That's a dad talking right there.
It certainly is. Oh, you just lost the quiet game, Colin. Better luck next time.
It was mostly me and my dad, but sometimes it'd be the whole family. We used to do the one where you have to continue the chain going where whatever your topic is, you know, U.S. states or cars or whatever. I give an example, and then you have to give an example where the first letter is the last letter of the example I gave.
Oh, I've played that before.
You know, we used to play like geographic places, right? So if I say France, you would need to do something like Ecuador, and then you could follow that with Rhode Island or whatever. Yeah, we used to play that one for such long stretches that we would forget if we'd repeat. You know, it was just silly. Well, with games in mind, I have put together a game for us here. The name of this game is called One is Easy, Three is Hard. This is a little bit of an inversion, if you will, of games that Karen, you've done a bunch of these with us in the past. So you've done a lot of games of the type name as many boy band members as you can, right? And then we would each get points for whichever ones the other person doesn't mention. So like, you know, like if
categories.
We both say, right, yeah, if I say Justin Timberlake, Chris says Justin Timberlake, no dice. But if you're the only one who says Joey Fatone, you get a point for Joey Fatone. We're going to invert this formula. Our goal in this game is we want to name as many in common with the other people as possible, without cheating, without table talk, anything like that. So I'm going to give you a category or a topic. We're going to name only three.
Oh,
we get points for overlapping answers. And this is where I come up
Family
with the name
feud.
Of the game.
Like, we want to name what other people would name.
That's right. Except we are also, we are the pool of people, right?
Okay.
Getting one overlapping is easy. Getting two, a little bit more tricky. But if you get three overlapping, that is hard.
So Colin, are you playing with us too? Or is it
I am playing with you as well.
Oh, cool.
These are not outrageously weird or obscure categories, but I let's see how this goes here. So remember, the goal here, you're going to write down three. We want to overlap. Okay. You get points. So if I list three things and two of them I have in common with Chris and one I have in common with Karen, I get 3 points. If
got
you
it,
say three
it,
things
it.
And nobody else says them, you get 0. Here we go. Name 3 American pizza restaurants. And the challenge here is, instead of trying to outsmart the other person, is don't overthink it, you know?
You're good, because most people can name two big ones, and then it's like the third one. Oh, man. Yeah. Cross it out.
All right. When you're ready, mm-hmm. we'll do answers up. And I'll go first here, since this is my okay. creation here. Mm-hmm. All right. You guys ready? All right. Yeah. So three American pizza chains. I wrote Domino's.
Got it.
Pizza Hut.
Got it.
And Papa John's.
Oh. I put Little Caesars.
I put Little Caesars too.
Yeah. Okay. I think, I don't know. I think Little Caesars was the answer here that we were looking
okay.
for.
Okay.
I almost put Shakey's because
of that. That would have been too far out.
Too
yeah.
Niche.
Yeah. Yeah.
Niche.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the try and outsmart. All right. Well, so I got two. Here we go. Failing at my own game. So par for the course. Okay. Yeah. Name three marsupials.
It's gotta be okay.
It's tough.
I might name things that aren't marsupials, but yeah.
All right, let's rotate. Karen, what do you got? What do you got here? What are your three marsupials?
Kangaroo?
Naturally, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You psyched me out with naturally. Koala.
Got your koala. I got a koala. That, yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wombat.
I wrote W and then I crossed it out.
Kangaroo, koala, and I put wallaby. I'm not sure if that's a marsupial or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I put.
It doesn't matter.
It's true. It's really, yeah. Yeah, I'm not grading you on accuracy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. If we're wrong collectively, that counts for points. I put possum. I put possum. I should have put wombat. I was going to put wombat. Dang it. I don't know why I just overthought that
okay.
one.
Okay.
All right, moving right along. Third question. All right, name three jazz musicians.
Oh, gosh.
Not singers. Jazz musicians.
Oh,
instrumental.
Okay.
Instrumental, okay. Primarily. I mean,
good.
Maybe
that
okay if they also sing.
It down.
Yeah, yeah. No, known for playing an instrument, let's say.
Oh, gosh. Someone's going to kill me. Guess it's jazz.
I think these are all jazz musicians that I wrote down. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
We're trying to arrive at the we want to overlap.
Right.
But like Colin, yeah. you're more knowledgeable about this. So I'm like
right, but so Colin well, so Colin has to yeah. say what's the Joe Bloggs answers to
Ludo. Exactly.
Yeah, like, the three most common ones. What are you and I most likely to know?
Yeah, that's right, Chris. Exactly. It's like if it's NBA players, you know, I'm not trying to stump you. It's like, okay, you got your Michael Jordan, right? I'm like, yeah. Yep. All right. Three jazz musicians, Chris. What do you got? Why don't you go?
Louis Armstrong.
I got Louis Armstrong.
No!
Miles Davis.
Yes!
I got Miles Davis.
Count Basie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, don't have it.
Okay.
So two so far. What do you got, Karen?
Coltrane.
Nice. I got John Coltrane.
Oh. Okay.
Oh,
all right,
man.
So I
don't
got three.
I put Kenny G.
Yeah, I would accept Kenny G. All right, moving right along. Number four, name three Studio Ghibli movies.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
This one's for you, Colin.
One is easy, two is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mind okay. meld, Colin, mind meld.
Okay.
You better have this one.
Okay.
Jeez.
All right. I'll go first again. I've got My Neighbor Totoro.
Correct. Yes.
I've got Spirited Away.
Yes.
And I've got Ponyo.
No!
Who would put Ponyo? Yeah. What kind of crazy person put Ponyo? That movie is a 7 out of 10 at best.
It should at least be Princess Mononoke or Kiki's Delivery Service.
Princess Mononoke, Totoro, yeah. and Spirited Away.
Yeah.
I put Kiki's Delivery Service because Colin's daughter dressed up as Kiki.
She did.
Oh,
she did.
Boy. Wait, oh. did anybody put Mononoke? Oh, you just
no.
saying it?
I started to.
Karen, can you help us out here a little bit? What did you put down?
Kiki, Spirited Away, Totoro.
Oh, okay. All right, so I get two. Nobody right. put Princess Mononoke?
I'm overthinking, as usual.
Massive
yeah.
worldwide release. Okay.
Ponyo.
I know. I know.
Hanyo.
I'm sorry.
But, I put Tales from Earthsea.
yeah. Porco Rosso.
Porco Rosso. I was not. Look, at least I did not put Porco Rosso. Come on. Give me some credit here. Yeah. All right. Mm. Okay. All right. Let's see if I can come back from this one here. All right. okay. Question number five. Name three non-human characters from the Star Trek universe. Any any show.
You mean a race of characters or a
name?
Like a specific
character. Okay. Right. Okay. From any franchise, any era, any movie, any story, Star Trek universe. Right. Three non-human characters.
Non-human characters. Good, good. Okay, great.
I mean, this is after 11 years, maybe this is a good time to say that I'm not a Star Trek person.
Neither am I. That's good. That's an advantage, I think.
I think that is an advantage.
Really? Okay.
I do.
Because it's like, if you can think of that character, then you know that that's at least a lowest common denominator type thing, you know?
I don't need their rank or anything. Okay, okay. Yeah.
Thank God. R2.
Non-human. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Karen, I think it'll be funnier if you go first. What do you got?
All right. Here we go. Data.
Yeah, I got Data.
You got all Data.
Right. Spock.
I got Spock.
I got Spock.
In that order.
Worf?
Yes!
Worf!
Wait,
we did it! 3-3-3!
We did the trifecta! Incredible.
Nice. Yes, I am aware that Spock was half Vulcan, half human, but as far as I'm concerned, that counts, and more to the point, we all put the same answer, so yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's where knowing less actually works in your favor. Great.
Wow.
Doing good here.
Same three.
I've always found that to be the case. Yeah.
Mm. All right, two more. Here we go. Name three famous sculptures. Famous sculptures. Something out of stone, marble, you know, maybe, you know, a cast bronze, maybe.
Right.
But
like sculpture art, not necessarily sculpture functional monument.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Wow. I don't know any sculptures. I'm terrible.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do some sculptures here. I'm sure you know some sculptures. At least one. One is easy. Three is hard.
I don't even know one. Okay.
All right. Chris, what do you got?
Well, first I wrote down The Thinker.
I got The Thinker. Oh, nice. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Rodin, The Thinker. Yep. Yep.
Then I put David, Michelangelo's David.
Yes.
Yep.
And then I finished it out with, you know her. She's got no arms. Venus de Milo.
Yes.
Yes.
Was that it?
That's what I got. I got the same three.
Oh, man. David, Venus, Chicago Bean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost put the Chicago Bean. Yeah.
David.
The Thinker.
Quick sidebar. What is the Chicago Bean?
It's the cloud gate. It's that big reflective bean. It's like a mirror bean made by.
I'm sure you've
like,
seen it. It's super photogenic. It's been in like commercials.
I've seen the bean. That's what the t-shirt should say that you buy at the gift shop. I've seen the bean. No, I've never heard of it, and I'm not convinced you're not making this up to mess with me. Go on.
Last one. Here we go. Let's close it out strong here. Let's just mind meld. We're not trying to trick each other. Okay. Name three from any era.
Oh God.
Professional Major League Baseball players.
Oh no.
Oh gosh. Oh, this is going to be all over the place. Unfortunately.
We know each other well. Maybe a little too well.
It's true.
Maybe too well sometimes. Okay.
Oh, hold on.
I don't know. I don't even know if one is easy on this one, but we'll see.
I feel confident that the three of us we could all get two. I feel like we know each other.
Really? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see. Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. Yeah.
I will go. How about that? All right. I got our man. Good job, Brains. Own Bobby Bonilla.
Yes.
No.
I put Bobby Bonilla also.
I thought for sure Karen would get Bobby Bonilla.
Oh, man. Okay.
I've also got Karen's favorite name player, I'm guessing.
No! I didn't put it down either.
Albert Pujols.
No! Oh,
I did not put that.
I thought we're going with Joe Block. Oh man. Okay.
And then my safe answer is Babe Ruth. I just figured, like, God, okay. Sure. All right.
Oh really? Oh, I did not put Babe Ruth. No, I put A-Rod and Derek Jeter because I have no idea.
I put Hank Aaron and Ken Griffey. Oh my gosh, terrible.
That's too many
avenues.
But I did get 1 point for Bobby Bonilla, so 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
All right, so I got...
I got 16 points.
I got 17, I think.
Oh, 10.
Wow.
I got 15.
Yeah, 17, if I did my math right. All right.
You won your own game.
I did. Despite the bad... embarrassing the stumble.
Very, very bad. Face plant.
All right. Well, that was fun. That was fun. That worked out pretty well. Maybe we'll see if we can bring that one back in a future show. All right. Thank you guys.
Good. Honestly, I think that one that could come back.
The magic number 3 works very elegantly. Getting all 3 is such a big feat. Very good job. Oh, that was fun.
All right.
And that's our show. That's kind of sad. This was our last episode for this season.
This is a good season.
Ended it on a high note.
It's always bittersweet to come to the end. I love doing the show.
I don't have friends, so yeah. I don't really see other adults who are not work. Do you know what I mean? Spring's coming to an end, and we're going to take a summer break, and we'll be back in the fall. Thank you guys for a good season. Yay! And again, you can catch us in person and live this coming September at SporkleCon in Washington, D.C., September 8th through 10th. We're going to do a live show. We're going to do it. We're going to have a splash zone. We're going to have beaver butthole prize grab. We're going to have some swag. We're going to have awkward interactions because we are not famous people, nor are we trained stage people. So doesn't that sound like fun? Come on down this September to Washington, D.C. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about big things in Australia. Station wagons and license plates. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps. And on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like History of Everything, Tumble, the science podcast for kids, and The Movies That Made Us. See you in your ear holes in a couple months.
Bye. You'll hit the road.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.